Oh Lord, you have given us so much. In fact, oh God, all that we have comes from you. And it's our privilege and our act of worship to return to you these tithes and offerings today. And we pray your blessing on them, that they would be useful in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And that simple little prayer is a great introduction to our scripture today, to what we'll be talking about. Everything we have, everything that we are, is given to us by God. And that's a good reminder, because that's a good part of what Jesus is talking about as we jump into Luke chapter 6. We're in our sermon series on Unleashed, Jesus and the good news of the gospel have been unleashed, and we are looking at Jesus starting off a sermon today with some blessings and woes. And I'll tell you, it's a little bit hard, maybe a little uncomfortable for us to hear. Certainly is for me to be talking about it this morning, but we do jump in with his version of the Sermon on the Mount. So in Matthew, we have the Sermon on the Mount. This is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. And he begins with these blessings and woes. And as we turn to the scriptures now, I would invite you to pray again with me. O Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word as we gather here today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work deep in our hearts to help us to put these words into practice, to apply them to our very lives, that we might be transformed to look more and more and live more and more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So we're reading from Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 17. And this is talking about Jesus. He went down with them and stood on a level place, maybe like Midland. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it is a bit of a difficult word for us. Now, if you're poor, hungry, weeping, or hated because of Jesus, well, there's really good news here. You're blessed. And when we are in those positions, we are blessed. But if you're not in those categories today, if you're in the opposite, like many of us, then Jesus has some difficult words for us. And what does this mean? How do we make sense of this? Because I know that Jesus still loves me. I know the scriptures tell me that he's full of grace and mercy and love, but these are some hard words. So how do we make sense of all this today? Let's look at these blessings and woes. So these are pronouncements of the way things operate in God's kingdom. All right, and Jesus is explaining that in God's kingdom, those who are poor are blessed. Those who are hungry are blessed. And he goes on and on. These are not meant to be commands for us to go out and be poor, go out and try to be hungry. He's taking categories of people who are in these situations and saying, you are blessed. So it's descriptive of these people. It's not to be prescriptive, like for us to go do these things. So if you find yourself in one place or another, Jesus is telling you about your position in God's kingdom. And as is true with any of Jesus' descriptions of God's kingdom, he's turning things over, right? I like to think of us living in the world, the ways of the world are upside down, and Jesus comes along and describes God's kingdom that is completely opposite and turns things right side up. So Jesus is saying, if you find yourself at the bottom, well, in God's kingdom, you'll be at the top. And if you find yourself at the top in God's kingdom, you'll be at the bottom. And so he's pronouncing blessing upon those who find themselves in the world's ways of at the bottom. And this is, y'all know blessing. This we don't have to spend a lot of time on. This is a positive thing that maybe you see, maybe you don't see. It's often unexpected, but it's a blessing. It's a good thing. The woes are not as common. It's not a word that we use a lot. I found out in the first service, I'm kind of alone in this, but I'm tempted to like curve my finger and point and say, woe to you. But actually, that's not, I don't think, the way Jesus said it. The word is not meant to be a synonym of like cursed. Jesus is not cursing the people who are rich and well-fed and so on. Jesus is rather having compassion on them, kind of sighing and you're going to be in a tough spot. That's the sort of sense that he's trying to give. And so think of it with a lot of compassion. Eugene Peterson translates this in the Message. There's trouble ahead for you if you're this or that. And trouble ahead is a good translation. I think it helps us see there's some kind of danger in your position. And we'll get into exactly why that is. But there's need for a closer look if you're in these categories. And so Jesus pairs up these blessings and curses. Although we would have preferred him to kind of set it up like Matthew, where there were no curses, no woes at all, right? But in Luke, he does have the woes. And so he pairs up the rich are blessed, but I'm sorry. I'm getting all turned around now. The poor are blessed. The rich are woed. The well-fed are woed. The hungry are blessed. And he pairs these up down through all four of them. Those whose lives are defined by a lack of resources in this world, he says, don't worry. You have an advantage when it comes to God's kingdom. You are blessed. The kingdom of God will be yours. God's kingdom puts you on top, even when in the world you're on the bottom. He says the same thing for the hungry. You're right now struggling to be satisfied, but in God's kingdom you will be satisfied. Now, we know that in this day, when Jesus was preaching to this crowd, they came from long distances, but the poor and the hungry were likely the majority of the people that he was talking to. And so they're hearing this, and it's good news for them, right? This is really good news. There's something great coming, and you're well positioned to receive it, Jesus says. But to the rich and the well-fed, Jesus had a different message altogether. And that's where most of us today find ourselves. by almost any measurement, we are among the rich and the well-fed. I found this website, and there's plenty of these online, but Giving What We Can is the name of this one. Giving What We Can website, and I put my family's household income in there for our family of four at home. And I found out that we are in the top 6% of the world. And this takes into account differences in cost of living around the world and everything. We're above 94% of the world's population. Now, you know, groceries have gone up and eggs are expensive. Y'all probably noticed and all of that. But I have yet to actually have to wonder where my next meal is coming from. In fact, any hunger pains that I experience are much more a reflection of my busy schedule than they are my lack of finances. And so Jesus says to the rich, you've already received your reward. The comfort that you're living in now is your reward. Unfortunately, he doesn't really give us like any more explanation there. What is this to mean for a person who's living with their needs taken care of? Now, these are more warnings. Again, this is not like an unchangeable situation that you're in, but this is a warning for someone whose needs are well taken care of. Jesus has said similar things in other places. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And he says to the rich young ruler, in your case, looking at your heart, what you need to do is to sell all your possessions and give to the poor. And the rich young ruler is not willing to do that, and he walks off very sad. Why is it so hard for people like us who have our needs taken care of and more? Why is it so hard for us to be a part of God's kingdom? I don't want to like just gloss over that. This is a big question, right? Entering God's kingdom is based on having faith in God. That's the way that you enter God's kingdom. And Jesus says that we, the rich and the well-fed, are at a disadvantage when it comes to having faith in God. I think that's how we need to pay attention, what we need to pay attention to. Woe to the rich, because you're at a disadvantage in putting our faith in God. And maybe an illustration will help. So, if you've been on a mission trip with us, you will have heard something similar to this, but we train our mission teams, especially when we're going into an area where we'll encounter a lot of people who are living in poverty. We talk about how these dear people can come to belief in Jesus so freely. So imagine a rope. And our friends in rural Uganda who live off so very little, they have a short rope. Regularly, maybe even daily, they are coming to the end of their rope. They don't have any other options. There's nobody there to give them food or shelter or clothing, whatever they need. In these times, they are left with no other choice but to turn to God and to ask God and to depend on God for those provisions. And they regularly look at everything they have as coming from God, because in one way or another, they have experienced that. God provided that for them when they had nowhere else to turn. Their poverty forces them into a dependence on God. By contrast, we, most of us here today, live with a much longer rope. And maybe you've approached the end of your rope at one time or another. Sometimes a health issue or an accident or something can take us there in an instant. But financially speaking, most of us rarely come to the end of our rope. In fact, for me, you know, for it to even come into view is pretty rare, way off over there somewhere. When it comes to basic food and shelter, the end of my rope is a long way off. And so I'm not forced into depending on God for my dinner or for where I'll put my head tomorrow. If we're going to depend on God to provide for us, for most of us, that has to be an intentional decision. We're not forced into that because of our circumstances. We have to decide that. We have to decide that we're going to depend on God. It doesn't just naturally happen. And so in that way, we are at a disadvantage in the kingdom of God. Now, this hasn't come from any wrongdoing on our part or any fault of our own. Now, if you did come by wealth because you stole from others, then you need to address that. That'll be another sermon altogether. But it's not our fault. We were born here in a place where our needs have been met throughout most of, if not all, of our lives. So what can we do to handle this disadvantage? I think it's as difficult as the words are to hear from Jesus. It's good that he's telling us, look, you're at a disadvantage. You need to address this. You need to make sure your heart is in the right place. So a few things we can do. One, recognize that everything you have is from God. Just like we prayed over the offering, everything we have is from God. As you do that, you'll recognize also that you're depending on God for whatever comes next. Lord, you could say something like this, Lord, I would have nothing if you had not given it to me. I would have nothing if you, O Lord, had not given it to me. This is not easy, because what's easy is for us to trust in the fact that I have a pantry full of food at home, the fact that I've got money in the bank and a credit card, even if I don't have money in the bank, and I have all of these things to back me up. And Jesus just wants me to depend on God. So it's a challenge. Another thing we can do is to share generously. And y'all are really good at that as a church. Sharing generously allows us to be involved in these places around the world, to do all kinds of things in our own city. Keep it up, I would say. And make sure that you're giving away just as God leads you to do that. This, in fact, is one of the main reasons God has given you what you have, so that you can share it with others. And that not only provides for others, but it also works in your own heart to keep you from hoarding and holding on to things. That's a healing response in your own heart. Now, I don't think that Jesus' perfect vision for the church means that the rich give and give and give and the poor receive and receive and receive until we're all at this middle line somewhere. Because in the book of Acts, in the early church, we see that there were still those who were rich, and they helped provide a place for the church to meet and land here and there and other resources, and the poor were still there. I don't think that it's Jesus' intention for us all to be at the same level, but Jesus is concerned about where our hearts are, whether we're rich or poor. And remember, these are not commands for us to make ourselves rich or make ourselves poor. And we have to guard our hearts. This is the last little thing that we can do. We have to guard our hearts from the very strong temptation to put our trust in something other than God. And this is kind of just another way of saying the same thing again. But put our trust in God before all other things. I mean, in the scripture that Mary Helen read for us from Jeremiah, hundreds of years before Jesus gave this sermon, Jeremiah is telling the people, don't trust in mere mortals. In fact, you'll be cursed if you trust in mere mortals. Trust in the Lord, he says. This is a temptation that's been around since the very beginning, and it's still here. It's not going anywhere. More than ever, we are tempted day by day, every day, to put our trust in other things, whether it is what we have. Maybe we trust in other people who have our back. But we need to put our trust in the Lord. Eugene Peterson translates the well-fed woe. Woe to the well-fed. He translates it this way. There's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. It's easy for us to depend on ourselves. That's a high value, especially in our West Texas culture, to be independent, not to be beholden to anyone, but to be able to take care of ourselves. And God said, that's okay, but don't forget about me. We must put our, at the end of the day, our real dependence is upon God. So this is, I would like to tie it up in a little bow at the end. Excuse me. I'd like to make it a lot more palatable or easier to hear and everything right here at the end, but it's meant to get our attention, I think. And so the discomfort you might feel, I know that I'm feeling, I mean, you're just having to listen to it. I'm having to say it all, right? The discomfort you might be feeling can be something God can use. Maybe there's something in the way that you're looking at your own life that needs to be adjusted. But I will say this, what's really good news is that Jesus, when he arrived on the scene, came to bring God's kingdom, to start the arrival of God's kingdom. So when he pronounces these things of the way that God's kingdom works, he's not talking about something that's way off in the distant future when Jesus comes back again someday. He's talking about things that begin to happen right now. And from when Jesus was walking the earth until today, God's kingdom has been coming little by little. And we get to participate in that as a church to help bring God's kingdom. Now, the poor, not all of the poor have God's kingdom in their hands just yet. Not all of the hungry have been satisfied. That has still yet to be finished, but it has started to come. And anytime we can help to spread God's kingdom out even more, we are living as the hands and feet of Jesus. That is our work as a church. So I want you to think of where in your own life, where are you depending on something other than God? What deep inside your heart might need to be adjusted in light of what Jesus says here today? And may God bless us as we join with Jesus in bringing God's kingdom to the world around us. Amen.